Hello, Anne. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Hi. Welcome.
No, welcome to you. I'm very excited to have you today. I recently just read your book. It's called A Pathway to Insight, and it's really about learning how, you know, internal body awareness and getting to know ourselves at a much deeper level than, you know, most of us have been taught to do can really be a hugely transformational and profound technique and strategy that people can use to, you know, release tension, to alleviate stress, to bring a lot more peace and serenity into your life and, you know, provide a much more all-round holistic experience. And so I have a ton of questions. I thought your book was tremendous. I read it cover to cover, and I would highly recommend it for anyone who's listening as well. And we'll put links and all that in the description. But yeah, so thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you since you've read the book.
Yeah.
I'm excited to know what your questions are.
Well, how about we sort of start off just to give a little context for people. What led you to writing this book and, you know, the sort of journey that you were on that took you to discovering these techniques and then ultimately, you know, sharing them with people?
Sure. Well, I actually wrote the book because I didn't know anyone else who has developed the ability that I seem to have developed. And I wish I had known this when I was first starting on my journey. I think it would have really helped to know that you could actually go this far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had a traumatic childhood. I don't think it was any more traumatic than a lot of people, probably less than a lot of people. But, you know, both my parents were alcoholics. And when I was 19, I walked into the bathroom and found my mother dead on the bathroom floor one morning when I woke up.
Jesus.
So that trauma stayed with me. I didn't realize at the time how much I suppressed everything because it was my normal. I didn't know anything different. So I just kept it all inside. And it wasn't until I was in my late 30s and I had two young boys and I was a stay-at-home mother that I went to a doctor at one point just for a checkup, I think. And he wanted to know what my stress level was because he realized I was more stressed. I was more highly strung than someone in my situation should be. And I told him it was an 8 out of 10. And I knew immediately it was from that trauma 20 years earlier because the tears were still so close to the surface, right? If I thought about it, the tears were there. So he used this weird technique with me. It's called EFT, short for Emotional Freedom Technique. It is very odd. I didn't understand it at the time, but he used it with me for about 15 minutes. And I walked away from that appointment being able to tell the story of her death in my mind without any emotions coming up. Wow. And it felt like such a huge shift to me that I knew there was something to this. So that was the start of my journey.
I mean, yeah, that's a hell of a start. you know, but yeah, so for those who don't know, you know, this EFT, this emotional freedom technique was, I think, originally developed by Gary Craig, his name was. And what it basically is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's a technique which sort of focuses on the various sort of energetic pathways in your body, but also simultaneously, the point of it is to like release the emotional charge of certain thoughts or feelings or associations or words or things like that, which traditionally is quite difficult to do without such a technique. So could you give a little like explanation of exactly what it is and, you know, how simple and yet it does feel a bit silly to do, but, you know, it works.
It's a little bit like acupressure in that we're tapping on the ends of meridian systems as we're feeling the emotion. So we're using the words that we're using, and, you know, perhaps my dad shouted at me. I'm using those words as I'm tapping on the ends of meridian system. So the first one is the karate chop point on the side of the hand. And then the next point is the crown point on the top of the head. Then the beginning of the eyebrow, the bone on the edge of the eye, the bone under the eye, on the upper lip, on the chin, on the collarbone, and then the last one is under the arm, about 4 inches under the armpit. And that's it. It's just the same points, and we tap on them over and over again as we're bringing whatever it is. And you're right, it could just be a simple word, right? The word hospital has memories inside of us, and it has energy inside of us, most of us. And you know, if you just bring that word to mind, or like the word dad or the word mum, right? There's all these memories attached to it. And as you tap on those points, it's releasing that stored energy behind the words. So the words you're just using are to bring the energy back into the body. So, you know, with me, I would think about finding my mum, right? There were all sorts of emotions involved in that and things that happened. So I just tap through them and it becomes easier to say. You can hear the change in your voice as you're saying it. You can hear that the energy is releasing. And if, you know, Gary Craig was a chemical engineer. I used to be a software engineer. So I really like to know things are working. And one of the great things about EFT is it provides feedback. Mm-hmm. So you'll start yawning, or some people will burp.
Right.
Or you'll have a big sigh, or you'll cry. You know, there'll be some feedback from the body that the energy is leaving, which is really nice.
Right. Which is sort of that your autonomic nervous system discharges, you know, the sort of emotional charge that comes with it. And that often takes the form of yawning, or, you know, as you say, burping, or big sighing, big stretch. And, you know, even in general life, you can feel when those moments happen that there is some kind of like release and a sense of relaxation that follows. Right. And I mean, it's interesting because it's just a side point. Animals do this too. They shake, right? So they have emotional confrontational charges, or they, you know, move from one mood to another and they shake and they basically like reset their system. And humans don't shake exactly like that, but it would be funny if they did, that's for sure. You know, just,
well, you read my book
all the way.
You read my book. So at some point, you know, my body did release enough that it started to release in that way.
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, after people have very like traumatic events, when they're sort of in what's sort of considered shock, you know, the body does shake, right? And it's often seen as a bad thing, I think, but it typically isn't. And there's even some science to suggest that like post-surgery, you know, many patients come out and their body like sort of shakes. And usually, you know, doctors sort of give some sort of sedative or something like that to calm that down. But there's some research to suggest that it's actually, you should let the body do that because it's its natural way of processing the events that have just happened. But that's neither here nor there. what I wanted to sort of focus on as well was that, so the thing about EFT, right, is that it's not a one-stop shop fix. I mean, it is in the sense of like it can help with a tremendous amount of things, but it doesn't solve the problem all at once in one go, right? Or sometimes it does, but sometimes you do have to repeat it over and over to sort of like progressively discharge whatever emotion is held up within it, right? And so you might do it a few times over, or for a few days or a few weeks or whatever it is, and sort of work your way through all the various memories and associations that come up and emotions that come up, you know, around particular events, particularly when they're as traumatic as, you know, finding, you know, your mother like dead on the floor, I would imagine.
Right. It's very much a layer by layer process. Mm-hmm. Right? There are so many aspects to something like you know, my mother's death. And yes, after that 15 minutes, we took off the first layer. But yes, I had to go back to it. And, you know, it's kind of opening up the subconscious mind. So once you've released a layer, some other memory, some other part of it will surface. And then you can work on that. And so, yes, I mean, there's definite emotions come up. I mean, I had a lot of guilt because in the night she walked from her bedroom, which was to the left of my room, to the bathroom, which was to the right. And she was dying in the process. Mm. So I had a lot of guilt that I didn't hear her.
Right.
So that didn't come up till later. And then there was this silly memory of, you know, my brother wasn't home. I had to find where he was. Someone from his work contacted him. He was at his girlfriend's house and I didn't know her. And he brought her back with him. And she got me a cup of coffee. And I didn't like coffee, but if I did have coffee, it had to have milk and sugar. So I was annoyed with her, right? But that's such a small thing in the whole scheme of what was happening, and it didn't show up until later.
Right. But it's amazing what we hold on to, right?
Right. We do. We suppress so much.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, most of us do. Those who are taught how to let it go in childhood don't suppress as much. But I think most of us these days, we're taught to suppress it, to hold it down.
Yeah. And as you had just mentioned, like most of the stuff that we, you know, suppress and keep away actually sort of gets stored in the subconscious realm. And so we don't even really know what we've got down there until we're ready to face it and bring it up to the surface into conscious awareness, you know, as it were. And that's when you really start to dig deep and see what's been stored and what's going on. And I mean, listen, to be fair, you know, the body and mind, it's an amazing defense mechanism to be able to do that, to shut down, you know, the emotions and sort of survive. And it works phenomenally well for a short period of time. But it's when that doesn't sort of get worked through or doesn't get to the surface that the problems start arising and manifesting as, you know, physical symptoms and ailments and things like that. And, you know, there's a sort of a long psychological history of this, even like to the Freudian era where, you know, many of his patients had like frozen limbs and things like that. And he would sort of do his psychoanalytic techniques and ultimately cure them of these various strange physical manifestations that really had psychological roots. And so, you know, this isn't really a new idea, but it's interesting how, you know, something like EFT, which is far more simple than psychoanalysis, which is like, you know, 3 or 4 times a week for years on end. And it works to do this, right? And it just amazes me how, you know, how fascinating and the body is and its ability to heal itself when given the opportunity to, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've really come to understand is how it's so connected. I mean, it when you're working with the words and the memories, you're really releasing the physical tension on the inside. It's just one and the same, yeah. But we tend to separate them. But it really is. It's releasing that depth of the physical.
Right. The mind-body, you know, distinction is really not quite accurate. You know, we're sort of single beings. And although our psychological aspects sort of tend to separate, think of itself as separate, it's not, it can't be, because we're biological creatures, among other things. But fundamentally, as a human body, you know, we're one biological entity. We're not separate from our limbs and our nervous system. And that's just the makeup of the biology. And then, I mean, yeah, we can talk about, you know, the sort of spiritual aspect of that too, and sort of where that comes from and why there are physical, you know, manifestations in the world and that. But aside from that, it's just this mind-body duality sort of seems to be fading away as well in our sort of current thought literature, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, definitely. Even think of the word remember.
Yeah.
Like we're remembering our past, but re is to do over again, and member, our arms and legs are classed as our members. So we're actually putting it all back together when we're remembering and letting this go.
Right.
Yeah. And now going back to one of the things you said a little bit earlier, it's like, I absolutely believe that saying that we hear that God never gives you more than you can handle in any moment. Now, I know there's some big traumas people have talked to me about that, you know, of course God's not going to let your child die, right? That's going to be hard to survive. But in this process of going back through yourself and remembering yourself, in this process, the process I went through, you're never given more than you can handle at any moment. So that's why it's a layer by layer process, because towards the end of my story, I know we haven't got there yet, but I had so much internal pain and the forces inside. If I had known that was there, like in the beginning of my journey, I could not have handled it. Mm-hmm. But it was there all along. I just had to get to the point where I was ready to become aware of it and to work with it and let it go.
Right. So, okay, yeah. So take us through like the sort of the next steps, right? So after you had this doctor's appointment, right, and you discovered, or he showed you this amazing technique of, you know, emotional release, how did you sort of feel at that point? Was it confusing, or was it, you know, sort of an epiphanous moment? You know, where did you sort of take it?
It was kind of exciting to experience something that really seemed to have a permanent shift to it. Mm. But as I said, I was an engineer. I wanted to try it out. So we had a 17-year-old cat that needed daily saline shots, right, with an injection. Mm. And the first time I did that, and my hand was shaking so much, there was no way I was going to be able to do it on a daily basis. So I thought, well, is this a good test for this technique? So I tapped, it's also called tapping, I tapped about my fear of hurting my cat, my fear of the injection, my history around the injections. And the next time, the needle just slid right in and my hand did not shake at all. I was totally peaceful and calm as I gave it. And to me, it's like, wow, that really made a huge difference. And so I realized it was really powerful. So then I just started using it on a day-to-day basis. I started becoming aware of when I was feeling emotional or riled up, and I would tap about it. I would tap on those emotions. It's easy to do in the moments, right, when you're feeling that, because the emotions are right there. You don't really even have to use words at that point because it's working on that energy that's current in the body. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that, and then I started to feel more peaceful. And so I wanted more. So I wrote down every emotional memory I had from childhood. And wow. I tapped on one each night. I tapped for about an hour to an hour and a half each night. Because I really wanted something to change. I really wanted to change. So I just found myself becoming peaceful. I wasn't reactive. I used to be really reactive. And I wanted to be peaceful. So I found that happening. And then at some point I realized that the words I had been using inside my head, the ones I'd criticize myself with and judge other people, those had been my dad's words that I had become programmed with. I'd programmed myself, or he'd programmed me, or something had happened in childhood. And I just used those words over and over again. And it wasn't until they had gone out of my mind that I actually realized that they were his.
Right. So,
and I felt at that point I was living in a different reality. It felt so different.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because peace is, you know, just about better than anything. And that's what everyone wants, right? And everyone has all these goals and aspirations. And ultimately, it's because they think that that's going to bring them happiness and peace. You know, if they have it or don't have this, or this is different from how, you know, you want it to be. But that end goal is just that sort of, you know, internal serenity where you're just like, life is great. You know, what's happening next?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just this is great.
So I felt... Yeah, I felt like I was on a path, but I also noticed that my awareness was expanding. You know, I didn't really understand the word awareness when I started this, but I have a deep understanding now. So I was becoming aware of my emotions, mm-hmm. which I hadn't really been aware of before. I just knew what happened. I didn't really know how I felt about it. So I was becoming aware of those. But then the next layer underneath that is every emotion has a set of physical sensations in your body. Right. If you're feeling anger, you're probably tense in your stomach and your solar plexus. You maybe hold tension in your jaw and your shoulders. There's just a set of physical sensations underneath. Mm-hmm. And I started to become aware of those. Now you can tap on those, right? I could tap saying I can feel this tension in my stomach. I can tap on that and let that go. It just felt like at that point I could do something else. So I'd been in this group, and this guy in this group every week, he said, it's not, you don't have to meditate, which was good because I didn't want to do that. It's just about feeling your feelings.
Right.
So, you know, I was starting to become aware of my feelings. So what does that mean to feel your feelings? I've suppressed them for, you know, 3-4 decades at this point. So I started to teach myself how to do that. And I would stand at the kitchen sink. I would notice I was thinking a thought that had some kind of feeling with it. And I would actually stop and try and feel that feeling. It's like, where is it in my body? It's normally for me in the solar plexus or the stomach area. And I would, the only way I could keep that feeling there in order to feel it was to hold myself like a statue and actually hold my breath. And then I would notice where that tension is. And I would just put my awareness, my focused attention on that tension mm-hmm. inside. Right, even the words attention, attention, hold that attention on that tension, and eventually I'd have to take a deep breath and it would shift. There would be a release, a physical release of that tension, and then I would think the thought again. Okay, does it feel the same as something shifted? And normally something had shifted, and then I would do it again, and I would do it again and again until I could think that thought without the emotion or the feeling there anymore. At that point, the thought is free. It's got freedom at that point.
Right.
And so I just felt myself becoming calmer and calmer, and I got really good at doing this. And so I would start, instead of tapping in the evening, I would lay on the sofa and I would feel these feelings. So I'd start because I'd done so much of my childhood at this point, I went more to collective traumas. So like I would think about 9/11 and bring up all those emotions and those feelings and just feel them and let them pass through until they had dissipated.
Wow. So, I mean, it really sounds like what this has done is it gave you control over your own experience, right? And it's not that, you know, you necessarily at this point could just choose what to feel at all times, but it's more in the sense of like when unpleasant feelings came up or thoughts or whatever it is, you weren't at the mercy of them, so to speak. And like many of us are, where if you're angry, well, that's just it, you're angry, right? And there's nothing you can do about it, or you can act out on it, or you can redirect your aggression towards something. But it's very rare for people to be able to just, you know, be angry, be aware that you're angry at that time, and then do something, and within a very short amount of time, not be angry anymore and just be okay and not suppress it, because that's the other way to do it, right? It's quite easy to just shut it down.
And it's very subtle.
Yeah.
Right. It's very subtle, the difference between suppressing it and allowing it to just flow out of the body. Yeah. And it takes a little awareness to actually become aware of that. But yes. And you know, I've become really aware of this in the last couple of years with everything we're going through, that our part, I kind of call it an equation. Our part of every equation is how we feel about it. Mm-hmm. So we might be listening to the news, right? And that's happening to other people, what we're hearing about. But our part of that is how we feel about it. We have control of that. So, and that's what we can work with. We can always work with how we feel and let it go. And what really helped me was an understanding of the law of attraction, not from the manifesting point of view, but just from the way it works, right? That we're always emitting a signal. Every second of every day, the law of attraction is working. So we're emitting a signal and we're attracting back based on that signal. So I would ask myself throughout the day, how am I feeling right now? And do I want to feel this way again in the future?
Right.
And most of the time was no. So then I have to do something about my signal right now. I can do something as simple as taking deep breath to become more to peace, and then my signal is more in, at peace. Or I can do something deeper. And this work to me was deeper, that the tapping, it actually releases the tension in the connective tissue of the body, changing the base signal that we are. And because I wanted real change. I didn't want to have to do something, you know, I didn't want to have to meditate and do that every day. I wanted to make a deep change so that I didn't have to do the same thing every day.
Right.
And to me, that's what this did.
Yeah, that's amazing. But so perhaps you could elaborate a little bit. What do you mean when you say signal? Just for people who, you know, who haven't read your book yet.
Right. So the whole of us, I believe, is the signal, right? And it's kind of obvious when you think about it. You know, if someone is 6'8" and they walk into a room, their signal is someone who's really tall. They're going to attract attention because of that. You know, everything in their life is going to be kind of based around that. It's such a big part of their signal, right? Mm-hmm. Our hair is part of our signal. The clothes we wear are part of our signal. So those are kind of the obvious parts. But there's also, to me, the biggest part of our signal is that tension we hold inside. And it's actually noticeable. We're not mostly aware of it, but it's noticeable to other people around us. It's part of our signal. And that tension is what we're attracting back. So if I'm fully tense inside, that's part of my signal. And the things I'm going to attract into my future are going to give me that same feeling, that same tension again. Right? We know people who are highly strung, right? And then they have all these things happen to them all the time that keep them in that highly strung position.
Right.
And even the words itself, right? Highly strung, that's the
tight.
The strings.
Yeah.
The connective tissue in us is too tight. So this work is releasing that tension in those strings inside of us, that connective tissue inside of us. And then that's what we attract back to us. It's that full picture of what we're emitting, we're attracting back to us.
Yeah. And I think in your book, you use the word vibe, right? which I liked a lot, because I think it's quite a relatable word in the sense of, like, you know, everyone knows where if someone says they got a bad vibe about them, where you don't really know exactly what how to necessarily put that into words, even to yourself. You just know that something about this person doesn't feel good when you're near them, right? And there's lots of reasons why it could be that way, but regardless of why they're in that state, you know that something's off, right? Or that you don't want to be around them for whatever reason. Maybe not permanently, but certainly at least not at the moment. And maybe you can't avoid it, but you know it nonetheless. And then on the other end, you know, there's lots of people who just being around them just brings so much joy and peace to whatever's happening that you just want to spend more and more time with them, right? And it's almost like when you're with them, you sort of engage with their signal as well. And so it kind of like creates this atmosphere of whatever's happening. But at the same time, you know, it's worth noting that, as you say, it's like your signal is primary, right? And so although you can be affected by others, if you have a strong enough sense of self and self-awareness, then it doesn't matter that much what other people are doing, because you can control your state of being at that point, right?
Right. So even if we're experiencing someone who has what we feel to be a negative vibe, that's feelings inside of us. And we can, you know, if they're dangerous to be around, we don't want to be around them, right? For sure. But we can actually feel those feelings inside of us and let that energy pass through. Mm-hmm. And then we're actually attracting a different part of them.
Right.
Right. I had a group before COVID, and we would meet once a week and we would do our tapping. And this lady that came the second week, and she said, "Does this work change other people?" Because she had gone home after that first class and she had attracted a different version of her husband, right? He was in a totally different place because she was in a different place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that sort of seems, you know, immediately comprehensible and right to me, because you're basically offering the other person the opportunity to present the best part of themselves, right? Because if you go in, you know, if you're going into a conversation with someone and you're in attack mode, what do you think's going to happen? They're not, you know, what are the chances that they're not going to be defensive or attack back or whatever it is? Because that's what you're putting out there to them, right? Whereas if you go in and you're just chilled and at peace, then you're sort of inviting them to join you in that state. I mean, you know, words are a little bit funny when it comes to energy principles and things like that. But, you know, the general idea is there, right?
Right. Well, it is just energy, right? So if you're pushing against someone, right, we see it in our society today, right? Trying to force someone to do something they don't want to do, then there's going to be energy pushing back against that.
For sure.
It's just the way energy works. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much involved in this, right? In terms of, like, most of us, you know, we sort of just go about our lives just, you know, seeing what happens and just facing whatever the reality is, as opposed to, you know, being in a different position of saying, well, I want to sort myself out first and then move into the world so that whatever happens, pretty much, I'll be okay, right? And I don't have to worry about anything, you know, overwhelming me or creating all sorts of problems for me or whatever it is. Not that there won't be challenges and obstacles and things like that in the game of life, as you say, but it's more about that feeling of, like, I'm okay with myself in the world as it is, so that I'm not, you know, concerned or overly indulgent in, you know, fantasy of what might happen or what could happen. Right.
And but if I am, that's my work. Right. That's what I need to work with in the release.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, you know, this sort of, like, releasing mechanism of, you know, the stored tension, the stored emotion, the stored trauma, and all of these like layers going, you know, very deep within. And, you know, in the book, you go over a 3-step process about, you know, releasing. And it's... I think it starts off with emotional release, and then feeling, and then physical, right? That's your sort of 3 steps. And so how do you distinguish those 3 from each other, and what's the difference?
right? So this is the levels of awareness, you know, to begin with. Mm. It's the words. Like, I know what happened, right, with my mother. I know I know the steps that happened. So that's kind of the first, that's what I did with the tapping, right? I tapped through the words of what happened and then the emotions. Mm-hmm. That I felt as that was happening, right? And as I released those, then became aware of the feelings of the physical sensations underneath the emotions. And then that was that next step of actually feeling those physical sensations in the body. So that's the feeling release. And once I had done that enough, I actually found I could keep my awareness inside my body, which I had never heard of before. Excuse me. So once I put my awareness inside my body, I realized I could actually hold my awareness on the physical tension inside the connective tissue.
Right.
And then I'm doing the same thing. I'm holding my awareness on it. So on the first step, you're holding your awareness on the words or the emotions, the word, fear or anger, those words. And then on the next level, you're holding your awareness on the physical sensations. So the tension in the solar plexus. Holding the attention there, and you hold your attention there and it will dissipate. And so now I'm actually on the physical level inside the body in the connective tissue, holding the awareness there and it will dissipate. So it's just a deeper level of awareness. It's doing the same thing, right. Just doing it more directly now. And there aren't necessarily memories involved at this point. There can be. They will just kind of pop into awareness and then dissipate. But I do believe at this point, at least for me, I'm actually accessing the subconscious programming from my childhood that I was not aware of.
Right. And that's through the sort of physical, the experience of placing your awareness on physical tension and therein releasing it. And that sort of reprograms, as it were, the subconscious mind, because that's sort of the basis of a lot of things that eventually come up to the surface in consciousness, right?
Right. And we are seeing a lot of things come up to the surface these days in society, right? So, yeah, I'm not sure how it's reprogramming. It's just letting go of the programming.
Right. That's a better way of saying it.
Yeah. Underneath it all is just what's supposed to be. It's just the lightness is already there underneath the darkness.
Right.
I know there's a lot of talk about that kind of thing. And I can actually sense it. So I can sense inside. I can sense light, darkness, and tension. And as I focus on the tension and it releases, I notice at that point that it's light and it was dark before, kind of like with my dad's voice. I couldn't see that it was his voice until I'd gone beyond it. And then I could look back and say, oh, yeah, that was him.
Right.
Same with the light and darkness.
Yeah. I mean, that's fascinating. And so in terms of this, like, you know, body awareness, which is insight, as you've put it. And so, as you say, like, most of us aren't sort of trained or taught how to do that from a young age. And I don't think many people do. And, you know, some learn it later on in life. And I think many more people are kind of getting on board these days with it, you know. Various spiritual practices and things like that are taking over. And, you know, there's medical literature on how trauma is stored in the body and all sorts of things like that, where people are kind of getting a much more better understanding of what it means to be human and how it's not just a mental game, right? That we're a physical being in a physical world in these bodies, and that our focused attention is a remarkable tool that we sort of can use, a powerful tool maybe is a better word, that we can use to, you know, accomplish amazing things, including, you know, healing ourselves from various things that are stored in our bodies, right? I mean, you yourself went through dramatic physical changes, like with your scoliosis being, you know, resolved or significantly better due to this process of releasing all the tension, right?
Right. Yeah. The whole skull structure has changed. I mean, I never knew. Can you, you know, change your soft eye socket alignment? I mean, just changes to my skull that I didn't know were possible. I had no idea you could do that simply with focused awareness. So if you could do that to the skull structure, right, imagine what else we can do. And the other part of it, you know, is once we have this depth of awareness, it's not just inside our bodies, right? It's as within, so without, right? So the awareness of what's happening outside increases as well. And so it actually makes life a lot more fulfilling, right? There's a lot more depth to it than just, you know, 20 years ago. It's like, I did not have this depth. And so life wasn't as fulfilling. So just to know that that's possible to me is huge.
So what do you mean that your awareness has expanded on the outside? Like, what, how does that sort of look for you?
Well, it's very much the same, right? So inside, I'm aware of tension. Mm-hmm. So outside, I can see what's going on around. It's like, okay, this is like the pushing against. You can see when someone's pushing against and they're coming up against energy pushing back. I can just see how the energy is playing out in things in society and around me. And I can also see in other people, I can see where they're holding themselves tense.
Right.
And, you know, the darkness and the light, I can just, because I can see it inside, I can also see it outside.
Right.
Plus the senses, right?
Yeah.
Things taste better to me now, right?
Yeah.
You know, sounds, right? So that that class I had at the beginning, before COVID, at the beginning of the class, I would play a series of chimes. We would all sit in a circle with their eyes closed. I'd play this series of chakra chimes. And then everyone would open their eyes and we would share the experience. And the people who had the least depth of experience, and I know this because that's where I used to be, and they could only hear it with their ears. Mm-hmm. Some other people could hear it, the chimes with their ears, but they could also feel some of it through their bodies. And on the other end of that spectrum, people could actually feel the sound vibrations throughout their bodies. Hmm. So if you know that, right, if you know that's possible from the people who don't have the awareness, if they know that depth of awareness is possible, you know where you can go, right? There's somewhere to aim for. And the people who have that depth of awareness, can you imagine how they feel music
yeah.
differently than the people who only hear it with their ears? But not only hear music, right, but even people talking, mm. right, a conversation, they've got a greater depth of experience than the people who are just hearing it with their ears.
Right. It's the best kind of listening you can do, I suppose, is to listen with your whole body.
Yes.
And yeah, because, I mean, listen, most communication is nonverbal, right? And so listening to words is one thing, but really, really listening is a completely different thing. And yeah, when you're in tune with your body and you can feel changes that happen when someone's talking to you and you're able to distinguish, you know, your feelings versus other people's feelings, you can get remarkable insight into what's happening with this person. I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, people who are in therapy or as a doctor or something like that, when they're sort of talking to patients or clients and they have this skill, let's say, what happens is, you know, the person will be describing some event that will happen, and then the doctor or the therapist will say, you know, this just appeared to me, this memory or this thought or this idea. I don't know where it comes from. Does it mean something to you? And very often it does. And it seems quite like a miraculous kind of like psychic kind of experience. But really, they're just so in tune with themselves and their own body and their emotional landscape that they're able to notice when these shift of energies happen in other people and sort of feed it back to them, as it were, as is often done in therapy, right? Is sort of feeding your own experience back to you so that you can get a different view and sense of it, right?
Right.
And so, but that skill does take quite a long time to develop, right? It's not something you can learn in a, you know, 6-week course.
To me, everything's just developed as I've done my inner work, right? Just
right.
Things happen. I mean, I can see how everything replays, right? We just replay things over and over again in a different form. And the awareness of that expands too. It's like, oh, this feels so similar to something I experienced in my childhood. Mm. And so that awareness, because it's the opening of the subconscious mind, those memories and those connections come back.
Right. And I guess you have to be like, in order to sort of engage, I'm taking you away from the question, but I just wanted to say, like, you know, in order to sort of engage in this work, there's a certain level of I don't know if courage is the right word, but it's like courage and determination to face your fears and face the unpleasantness and the uncomfortableness and all the anxiety and the, you know, depression and whatever else is involved in order to work through it, because there's no way around that, right? And so you do have to reach a point like you did where you were like, something needs to change and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to change it. And that's the point where you're like, okay, well, I'm ready now to go through these very painful memories and experiences in order to work through them and sort of transcend through the other side, right?
Right. It is scary. I mean, sometimes you think you're going to be annihilated by those feelings, those emotions. So it takes some practice to realize that that's not going to happen, right? That freedom is really on the other side. And realizing that those memories, they're not stored anywhere else, right? It's just stuck energy inside of us. Our own memories only exist inside of us, nowhere else. Mm-hmm. So all we need to do is let that stuck energy pass through and release, and then it's gone.
Right. And you can do it bit by bit, as you had said, right? You don't have to do the whole container all at once.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't do the whole container all at once. All you can do is what you're aware of right now. And then you let that go. And then something else will be shown to you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I was able to put my awareness inside my head, right? So I had my awareness inside my body and worked my way up. Once I could get my awareness inside my head, then I had so much pain inside my left cheek here that I could only keep my awareness on it for a second or two because it was so painful. Hmm. And I think that's probably where my scoliosis kind of stemmed from. There was just so much stored tension inside of there. But I had no idea that was there.
And you had no pain in your cheek, like in everyday life? It was only when you were focusing?
None. Yes. Hmm. Yes. Once I put my focused awareness on it, I could feel it and I just couldn't keep it there. So it went back into the subconscious.
Yeah.
Right? And then I would feel it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually that tension in here actually goes all the way down to my right foot because I was born with my foot up against my shin. And that awareness of that tension throughout my right leg was also subconscious for 40 odd years. Hmm. So yes, it just gets opened up little by little by little.
Okay. And so, you know, you sort of take what you can tolerate is what you're saying, right? And so you don't have to try and push yourself as hard as you can go necessarily for it to be working, right? Like you feel a pain in your cheek, let's say, you don't have to be like, I'm going to suffer through this for as long as I can. You can kind of just like put your attention on it. Maybe it goes away. Maybe it doesn't. You know, how do you sort of like navigate that space?
It's just natural. It just comes. It's like, okay, right. I put my awareness on it, focus on it, let it go. Then I just know what to do next, whether I can do more or whether not. You know, it became so important to me. It just, you know, it feels really good to release old tension. It feels really good. And once you experience the changes, to me, it just kept me going and going. It's like there was nothing I would rather do. And it feels like it's been exponential. Hmm. I'm releasing so much really old stored tension now throughout the day. And I just, you know, I just relax. Okay, what's calling me next? Put my awareness there, release it, go on with my day, relax. What's calling me next? Put my awareness on it. And I just do it throughout the day. Hmm. And at this point, I can multitask. So I can, when I'm watching TV or watching a video or taking a walk, I'm also working to find where's that next area of tension, hold my awareness on it, let it go. It just calls me to the next place.
Yeah. So there's definitely a sense of like, you need to be able to trust your body to show you what it needs at that moment, something like that, right? Variation. Yeah,
and there have been some scary places. You know, the first time I actually heard the connective tissue release, and I could, you know, it was in my face, so I actually heard it and felt it, and it felt like old fabric ripping. It like, sounded like old fabric ripping. Yeah. And it's like, then I, you know, it's like, is this right? You know, am I hurting myself? But it was just the next step on the journey. Wow. And so now that happens all the time, multiple times a day.
Really? You can hear it like, I mean.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And, you know, my neck will crack multiple times each day as well. I release enough tension that my neck needs to adjust and it will just do it itself.
You mean you don't like do your, the head nods?
I do, yeah. But I don't do it consciously. It just
you're like, this just feels happens. Right, you know?
Yes.
Like this is what, it yes. just feels like what I need to do right now.
Absolutely,
so
yes.
So it's that, again, it's that it. Trusting that your body is sort of communicating what it needs and you just need to allow it to do its thing, right?
Right. And even, you know, in that process of, you know, the steps we talked about earlier, I would release enough tension that my chin at some point, my lower jaw needed to release and it would start going back and forth like a metronome. I could stop it at any point, but I knew that it got to a stage that it needed to release some really old stuck energy. So I would just let it go back and forth as much as it wanted and, you know, move on when I was ready. But so it was just allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
Is a step in itself. It's like, okay, this is really weird. I realized it was really weird, but I also knew that I didn't want to suppress it. I wanted to let it happen. So right. I just let it happen.
And so for people who, let's say, have never explored body awareness, excuse me, what's kind of like a good first step to take?
Well, the awareness grows. So right. The first step is to, you know, ask yourself throughout the day or notice when you're getting emotional.
Okay.
Just notice. It's like, oh, okay, something's coming up right now, or I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling sad. Just that awareness right in that moment is a first step. And then once you're aware, you can then choose to do something about it. And it can be as simple as just taking a deep breath and realizing that that's the signal you're emitting.
Right.
Because that really helped me. It's like, do I want to feel this way again in the future? Because that's the signal I'm emitting right now. So I'm going to get it back in the future. Mm-hmm. And if I want to change the future, I have to change my now.
Right.
So even just taking a deep breath at that point, letting it go, is changing your future because you've changed your now.
Right. And I suppose you also have to do it in a way that's like non-judgmental of yourself, because otherwise you're just falling into a different loop of the same problem. So, you know, if you feel angry at something, to sort of take a step back and say, why am I doing this? I shouldn't feel angry. I've been practicing or this and this. Like, that's not particularly helpful. Instead, you just got to be like, okay, I'm feeling angry at the moment. I don't want to feel angry anymore. Let me take a deep breath or a few or whatever it is and sort of see if I can reset that and move forwards in a much better state of mind and mood and a different vibration.
Right. But if I know how to use EFT, then I would accept that I shouldn't be feeling angry. I don't want to be feeling angry. I'm stupid for feeling angry. Whatever it is that we're actually thinking or actually feeling, that's where we want to catch it. It's like, okay, I know it's probably not good to judge myself about this, but I am. So then I'll accept. It's like, I'm judging myself right now. I don't like
it. Because you can't always control that, I suppose. The judgments just come up as well. And so it's easy to just get real stuck down a sort of spiral.
Right.
Right.
And those were my dad's words, right? Those were the judgments that I had picked up from childhood. So I had to accept them. I had to find them. Like, finding them is not as easy as it sounds, right? Because like you just said, it's like, well, we don't think we should be thinking that. So then we try not to think that.
Yeah.
But when we try not to think something, we're suppressing the thing we're actually thinking. So that's the goal, is to find the actual thought. I mean, I spent probably hours tapping. Now, I don't recommend people do this to begin with because I had to get there first, right? So I spent hours tapping on, I hate myself. I hate myself. And it took a couple of hours of tapping on it to allow the energy around that to go. So now it's like, it's just words.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any charge to it. I can easily say, I hate myself. I don't, but I can say it. Doesn't do anything to my insides, right? I don't feel tense or anything as I'm saying the words. They're just words.
Doesn't trigger you, as they say these days.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So even noticing what triggers you, right? If that's one of the things I did. I wrote down everything that triggered me, tapped on those.
Yeah. Which, right? All of us have, to be fair. I didn't mean for it to sound condescending. It's just the sort of pop culture-y word of the day, you know? I'm triggered whatever.
Yeah. Right. But that's a good way of noticing how you're feeling, right? So notice during the day, when do you think you're triggered? just become aware of it at that point. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Right? Change the signal you're in right now. Or notice if you want to do the EFT, you write it down. It's like, okay, this triggers me. And then you can tap on that and let that go.
Right. And so, I mean, it's a remarkable process, right, that you sort of have explored and are now sharing with people. And I think it's fantastic that you're doing it because, you know, not a lot of people are talking about this kind of stuff. And it's such a readily accessible tool for people to use and that can, you know, give so much peace and power to anyone who's sort of looking for it, right, to find that inner peace and strength and wisdom. And so, you know, it's interesting, like, another thing that you had brought up in your book, just to sort of take a sort of sidestep, was this idea of, you know, how sometimes we have like blockages from accessing certain things, right? They're sort of like energetic blockages that won't allow us to access certain memories or certain emotions because perhaps we perceive them as too painful to confront, right? So what's the story with that?
Yeah, I realized this when I was able to put my awareness inside.
Right.
I actually could put my awareness. I was actually moving my awareness around my lower right abdomen. And I realized there was an area there that like felt like a void. Now, I know a lot of us have had similar feelings. I know I used to feel a void in my solar plexus in my abdomen, which cleared out. It filled back in when I do the work around my mother. But this area, it's like I could kind of tell there was a void underneath it, and I would hold my awareness on it. I realized it took me a while to actually realize what I needed to do was hold my awareness on it. And as I did do that, this whole area of tension and pain, which was the hole through my down, through my right leg, that actually opened up to my awareness. Hmm. That I had not been aware of before. To me, it felt like opening up a black hole.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would be scary.
Everything had been sucked inside there. And I suddenly just let it all out. And it was amazing to experience at the time. So that just, you know, made me realize that we have these areas inside of us that hold all this tension and we're just not aware of it. Hmm. And I think, you know, that's dis-ease inside the body. So it takes some conscious looking at and exploring in order to open that up and let it go.
And did that happen like all at once? Like you focused your attention on this void, which sounds, to be fair, paradoxical. I'm not to be critical, but it's interesting how, you know, the sort of space of emptiness actually is containing a huge amount of things in it, right? And
right. That, there was resistance to it. Right. It almost felt like there was resistance pushing my awareness away.
Right, which is very strange. I mean, I've had the same experience, but it's a very strange experience when consciously you're like, I want to focus my attention on this, and then something goes, no, you know, we're not doing that.
Right.
And then you kind of have to keep pushing back. I mean, I've never had an experience quite like yours, but I do know what you're saying about this like level of resistance that happens, and that if you can move through it, or more likely accept that it's there and sort of process it and allow the resistance to fade, that's when the stuff inside comes out, right? You're not sort of forcing your way in.
Right. So at one of the shallower levels, right, you might realize or you might have some memory that you know you don't want to look at, right? I'm not going to go there.
Right.
Right. That we will use those words. I don't want to go there. Don't go there. That is the resistance to looking at something that once you actually do look at, it's going to open up and let go of dis-ease in the body.
Mm-hmm. Strange.
So that's
psychic
something
conflict
to be aware of. Yes.
Yeah. It's very weird being a human, I'll be honest. It's lots of weird things about it. And, you know, the more you get involved, sure, the weirder it gets.
yes.
But nevertheless, yeah. No, it is. It's remarkable. And I guess it's just, you know, the fact that this is possible, it opens so many doors for people who have been struggling with all sorts of things, right? Of, you know, that there's no apparent medical answer for, where all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, maybe there's a different opportunity here for me to try something else that, you know, isn't, you know, pop culture. I mean, not pop culture, that isn't like mainstream medicine, and sort of try it that way and see if this works. And, you know, have read or heard of the experiences of thousands of people who have had seemingly miraculous transformations based on these kind of energetic principles that, you know, we store energy, or energy, no, maybe it's better to be said that energy is stored, and when left there, creates physical problems that we then experience symptomatically and don't understand and can't find a reason for. Not that that's always the case, perhaps, but certainly a good amount of it, right? And so I think it's great that this is sort of, you know, coming out and being shared with people.
Good. Yes, it certainly can. And remember, you know, it's putting off a signal. Right? If we've got something hidden inside of us, it's still there.
Right.
And it's part of our signal that we're emitting. So we're attracting back a similar thing. So we want to look at it to clear it out, so it's no longer a part of our signal and no longer attracting.
So you really got to focus on within to change. If you know, shit in your life's going all awry and problems and all that kind of stuff, you got to look within. You can't solve the outside world and expect to feel better for it, right?
Right, yeah. And in fact, maybe you can change the outside world by changing the inside world.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing, right?
For sure.
But listen, I mean, it's a tremendous book, and I highly encourage everyone to read it. It's called A Pathway to Insight, Regaining Your Childhood Buzz, I think is the subtitle. And that sort of came from the sense of, like, you know, children know how to be in the world before we get conditioned into these various ways of living and being, and socialized is maybe another way of phrasing it, you know. So children are much more like animals, where they feel their shit and they do their stuff and whatever, and then it gets influenced by parents and mentors and friends and societies and all that kind of stuff, and, you know,
right, we start suppressing.
Yeah, and we lose that natural state of being in the world that is sort of peaceful and in harmony with everything else, and that it's actually possible to get back to that stage. And that it's a journey, right? It's not like this is a quick fix solution. I mean, you know, you've been doing this for a number of years, and as you say, you're still doing it throughout the day. So it's not that people should expect to read the book and, you know, in 6 months be enlightened and, you know, whatever it is. It's like, no, it's about the journey, but it's a fulfilling journey and enjoyable because, well, listen, I mean, it's obvious. Whenever you feel bad and then you feel good, you release it and you feel good, that's a good feeling, right? It's not a bad thing. So
it is.
It's about part of that journey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pathway for sure. And, you know, ultimately, I assume it will be a pathway to enlightenment, and that, you know, enlightenment really means that, right? It means both you're lightening your burden, right? You feel lighter as you do this. I remember feeling really heavy, mm-hmm. right? In my day-to-day life, I would feel heavier. I don't feel that anymore, right? So it's that enlightenment part. And also on the inside, right? I sense now what was dark is light. So it's that type of enlightenment as well. Mm. So yes, it's definitely a journey.
Well, good. Well, listen, so there'll be links in the description to find your book, but, you know, please tell people where they can find you and, you know, promote whatever you would like.
Sure. I have a website, which is my name, annhintz.com. And I have a public Facebook page that I'm really enjoying writing things on. You can contact me there at any time. And I have a YouTube channel, which I talk about some of these things in a little bit more depth. And you're welcome to look at those too.
Great. Go for it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope to speak to you again soon.
Great. Thank you. It was a great conversation.
All right. Take care.